Alleluia, Christ is risen. Full disclosure, I need to begin this sermon with a critical piece of information. My daughter, who is a high school freshman, is allowing me to share the following story. There is much in our family life which is off limits when it comes to the pulpit, but this occurrence has had the green light from day one. A couple of months ago, as part of a homework assignment for a class on parenting, my daughter brought home for a weekend a baby. Not a real baby, but a doll baby with a computer chip. Now, several of you have told me that when you or your child had to take a similar class, you or they, for a few days, had to carry around a bag of flour. I wish my daughter had been given a bag of flour. A bag of flour would have had some sort of practical use after the assignment was completed. This baby doll was endowed with, at best, artificial intelligence, whatever that means. It was not a bundle of joy. We couldn't even bundle it with our Wi-Fi or cable. I tried. Now you see, every so often, too often, this baby would start crying. And our cats would run for cover. And my daughter, or my wife and I, would have to figure out how to keep it quiet. We had to either give it a computerized bottle or change its computerized diaper. Now, with this quote-unquote computerized diaper thing, that doll did not produce a single thing, if you catch my drift. But apparently, the doll, in the amount of time that it was in our presence, that doll needed its diaper changed 21 times. On Monday morning, when my daughter turned in that doll, the teacher downloaded data from the doll cloud or whatever it was, and the data purportedly showed that my daughter failed to change the computerized diaper 21 times. 0 for 21. That would explain her final grade of 72 is probably a much higher grade for parenting than I'm going to get after this sermon. The whole thing was an unmitigated disaster. But we did have a little fun. You see, when my daughter first got home from school with this faux child, I sent a text to my parents. I took a picture of my daughter holding the doll. I was at somewhat of a distance, and I sent these words to my parents with that picture. Congratulations. Congratulations, your great-grandparents. You know, teenage pregnancy is not unheard of in Christianity, so, you know, what the heck. And you know how when you send a text message to someone and you can see that they've opened it, they've read it, and you're waiting for them to respond, and there's that oval and these three dots that keep going back and forth, and then they disappear, and they come back up, and they disappear, and they come back up. That went on for a little while. I didn't let it go on forever, and I let my parents in on the news that the baby wasn't real, and they weren't really great-grandparents. And they're wise to me. They've put up with my ridiculous sense of humor for years, and they'd figured it out immediately. At least that's what they said. That's what they told me. But they lived several states away, and they knew from the moment they saw my picture that that baby was not real. We all knew it was not a human life, and it could never act like a human being. That object, well, it could neither give nor receive love. It could be artificially appeased by hacking its computer program, but it could never share in our humanity, our struggles, our joy. You know, it's like the robot in the Super Bowl commercial that jogs, golfs, boxes, and cycles better than any of its human counterparts. It'll never grow up, that computerized baby, to grow out with friends to enjoy a Michelob. Responsibly, of course. And I know what the homework assignment was designed to do, and I respect that. But can we learn how to deal with authentic life by attending to objects incapable of giving or receiving love? Why do we sometimes think lifeless objects have anything to teach us about who we are as human beings created in the image of the living God? One Sunday morning, nearly 2,000 years ago, several women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others whose names we don't know, they all went to a tomb, a graveyard, a lifeless place. They were supposed to anoint the body of Jesus, their friend, their loved one, who had been killed the Friday before. But they were greeted by two men in dazzling clothes, angels, messengers from God. And they greeted them with news that was expected but forgotten, maybe unbelievable, possibly too good to be true. And the message was, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Stop wasting your time in the graveyard. Jesus is alive. God came to us as one of us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus lived and loved the way humanity is meant to live and love. But the powers and principalities of this world prefer the artificial to the authentic. They manufacture Jesus' death through a way of hate. But we seek Jesus' life in the way of love. We know that God's way of love brings authenticity to the human experience. God's way of love raised Jesus to new life. Jesus is not found among the dead. Jesus is discovered among the living. So why do we constantly look for the living among the dead? Why do we spend so much time and energy in situations where others determine our value not because of who we are, but because of what we can produce for them? Why do we sacrifice time with our families and friends on the altar of advancing our careers? Why do we settle for virtual reality and not embrace reality? Are we afraid that the love of God, the love that God shows for us in Jesus, the love which makes Easter possible, are we afraid that this is all too good to be true? Brothers and sisters, God's love for you, God's love for me, it is good, it is true, it is sincere, it is undeniable. It is life-affirming and life-giving. We know God's love for us in a deep way when we heed the message of the angels, when we stop wasting our time in this life searching for meaning and purpose in the artificial and discover our authentic worth in Christ Jesus. Why do we look for the living among the dead? Exit the graveyard. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.